listening to Fox Sports Radio.
On a day in which NASCAR makes an announcement about fans being at races, you've got the UFC's details of Fight Island that have been unveiled. What is the Vegas lead here on this Tuesday?
Oh, Fight Island. You got to love the branding there. I'm going with Dabo Sweeney and the hubbub at Clemson.
Yeah, and the started with Dabo Sweeney wearing a Football Matters shirt. Some people looked at that as Dabo being a little bit tone deaf. Then there were reports that have been disputed that an assistant coach used a racial slur at practice 3 years ago. So Dabo Sweeney has been apologizing and releasing statements with what he feels is the Clemson football program and whether or not they should be held accountable for some of these incidents, and his T-shirt included.
Okay, first question, and you're going to be my media interpreter here, the voice of the fan. How recalcitrant, how stubborn is Sweeney being about apologizing but not taking blame? Do you feel like he's been 100% contrite, or has there been a resistance?
No, I think there's a little more resistance from him. He feels a little bit defensive because I don't think that he intended any ill will whatsoever with the T-shirt. Trevor Lawrence came out and defended him and said he's been wearing that shirt for weeks and weeks and weeks during some of our Zoom meetings and things like that. So he feels like he's pushed back a little bit for sure.
I don't apologize to take care of my family.
All right, so not overdoing it. I want to walk through the stories because, and you said disputed, so I want to kind of hear what you think is the current assumptions on these stories. So my understanding is the T-shirt, the phrase has taken on a sanctified place with a certain group. And to me, or with those participating in that group and that movement, and it strikes me that I don't really care if something matters to, and matters isn't the right word specifically here, but I don't care if it makes sense to me. And I'm not saying it does or doesn't, but it's back to that idea is if you care about someone, if you want good things for them, if you don't want them to feel any more angst than they need to, if someone's first name is Chuck and he wants to be called Charles, I call him Charles. Unless he makes me mad, then I call him Chuck. So to me, we can sit and debate the whole, should a Sacramento Kings announcer be fired to say all lives, I think it was, matters?
Yeah.
I think on the surface, that phrase, all lives matters, is certainly not controversial if you just take the words at their meaning, use synonyms for those words. When you plug it into the echo of the movement, you can see, at least, it's clear why they're upset. So I guess my question is with Sweeney, I like Sweeney. I'm going to defend him here for the most part, but was that shirt any better to wear a month ago or 2 months ago? Like you were saying, well, a player said he'd been wearing it for weeks, but that was a problem even a year ago, right? Where co-opting that phrase was something a lot of people objected to.
I don't recall that. This is the first I've heard of really this being controversial, him wearing Football Matters T-shirt. I think it's similar along the lines to the Drew Brees situation to where it came off as not being able to read the room and see what was going on around you and being, understanding that maybe now is not the time to bring out a Football Matters T-shirt when, Black Lives Matter is a real thing and a real movement in America.
Yeah, but in general, the whole All Lives Matter was the rallying cry from the other side or the opponents, it seems, or at least those who weren't going along fully with Black Lives Matter, and they were objecting to that a year. I mean, what I'm saying is the heat on it's gone up.
Yeah.
But it feels like that was controversial, the whole time. I mean, Mackenzie, what's your take? Now, I don't know if this is a cliche. Mackenzie's black, and he graduated from Yale, so we probably have a smart guy here that can give us some insight. Would you say the All Lives Matter was something that was controversial 6 months ago?
Yes, it's 100% in contradiction to the Black Lives Matter. You know that when you name something, anything matters at this point.
Okay, so I think that the heat's gone up, but you could make the case. Well, I know the heat's gone up, but you could make the case Sweeney was, if you want to call him insensitive now, I think he was insensitive all along in a way.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Let's think about Michael Jordan. The debate was Republicans buy shoes. Jordan was not publicly as active politically as a lot of people would have liked. Now, recently, last week I think it was, $100 million donation. And the debate becomes, is it better to make all the money you can and then do something good with that money? Or is it better to do everything you can for justice along the way, even though it may or likely will hurt you financially? I think that's an interesting debate. I also think it's an excuse oftentimes. You hear this about people, rich people don't give to charity. They'll say, no, I can do better with that money now than any charity can. I'll keep multiplying that. And you think about a Bezos at Amazon, it's probably right? If Bezos gave a third of his money to charity right now, would that money grow the way it will with Bezos as the steward? I don't think so. But it also can be an excuse to not have to worry about charity. So it's complicated, but it feels like the NFL, the players collectively, are making a decision that is going to affect the bottom line. I mean, I think unequivocally, maybe it's a smaller percentage than it was before, but if there's widespread protests, if the commissioner is involved, if it feels like it's escalating at the NFL level around the national anthem, do you have any doubt, Jonas, that there will be some kind of impact to the bottom line?
Yeah,
the financial bottom line.
Yeah, I think it will be a topic of discussion. I think people are going to be bothered by it. I think some people compartmentalize it with, both things can be true. It's disrespectful for not standing for the national anthem. It's also horrible what happened to George Floyd and the police brutality. But then there are those that don't want to separate the two. There are people that say, no, the focus needs to be on this, on one side or the other. And so I think the NFL is in a tough spot. You're going to piss somebody off no matter which way you go with this. And it feels like they're right now trying to calm things down and let everybody know, hey, don't worry about it. We hear what's happening. And they I think they look at it like we've got a couple of months and maybe things will cool down before then.
Well, let me ask you, how are they trying to calm things down if the commissioner himself is the one who seems to be fanning the flames?
Because the players are speaking and not the owners. And so because of that, people are looking around for, what do you have to say about it? What is your thought on the situation? And instead of hearing from owners, Roger Goodell jumped out at it because he's the face, the name behind the league, the face of the league. We can't name all 32 owners. We know who the commissioner is. So Roger Goodell, because the players were speaking, he felt incumbent behind himself to go out and speak himself.
But the job of the commissioner, if we get a little bit less technical, is to take the slings and arrows at the front for the owners, not to protect his own interest by putting out there something that would be popular, let's say, amongst the players, but the owners will. I think the owners' silence collectively is deafening. I mean, has there been any comment from any owner?
I don't know off the top of my head.
I think the Carolina owner was out, you know, a couple weeks ago. I'm not sure about that. How long ago was that, McKenzie?
That was the Jags owner 7 days ago.
7 days ago. So the Jags owner. And I think that's it. We've been doing Google searches. I mean, that's a hell of a thing that you're not hearing even the obligatory, you know, it's a tragedy kind of thing. Not even coming out with that, it seems like.
Coaches have spoken. Players have spoken. Former players have spoken. And Roger Goodell has spoken, but I don't recall off the top of my head if we've had a bunch of owners come out, because I think they look at this as, if one comes out and speaks on this, then it's going to be representative of everybody else, and it's a bad look if now, 2 months later, we change course and say, no, he went rogue there for a little bit. We're against kneeling for the national anthem.
And I again believe the fact that the commissioner, whose job it is to represent the owners, I can't imagine. If the owners were behind Goodell's statement, they'd be standing out there wanting credit for it. The fact that they're in the background saying nothing tells me, Sherlock Holmes style, the dog that did not bark, I believe there's some real disconnect there. And maybe Goodell's about on his way out the door, figures he'll help his brand on the way out. And maybe he believed that the whole time, and he was just so sick and tired of being represented as someone behind, you know, the progressive times. Who knows? But I will say this, final word. The richest of the rich people usually don't talk a lot in the media. And I think what we're seeing today, I mean, like, how much... Drew Brees probably should have just been throwing footballs, right?
Yeah.
And that's the thing, is everyone in this social media age, and you're talking to a radio host, wants a microphone. And it feels empowering. You have a voice. And all that's valid. And I understand it. But in general, if you have a career, look at we can go back to the Sacramento Kings owner or announcer. He doesn't need a Twitter account, right? Some degree, I think you're going to see a lot of smart people. You know, there's no way to win because you're going to piss off someone from either side. Are you allowed saying that?
Yeah,
pee off?
Yeah.
I'm so, you know, I try to be so wholesome. I've never said that on air, Jonas. You just saw something right there.
Yeah, you can say off afterwards, not on, for obvious reasons.
Well, yeah. You know, that's private, yeah. So, to me, the idea that so many people would be better off, because when I say you're going to make people mad, when there's a blowout in the election, it's 55-45. There's a lot of people on each side. And a lot of people agreed with Brees when he said it. Now, was it 50? Was it 55? Was it 45? I promise it wasn't less than 40. And in general, you know, what we've tried to do, because I'm not a professional politician, I'm not a professional commenter on politics, I've tried to apply the Vegas analytical approach to these things, and the feedback's been great, and that's what we'll keep trying to do. And hopefully Fezzik won't come and ruin it with all his Silver Spoons-esque talk. He's back tomorrow.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
What is it like there on the scene, you being the voice of Vegas himself?
We have exceeded expectations. So that is not subjective. It's objectively true. Vegas has exceeded expectations when it comes to the comeback. Some say don't call it a comeback, Jonas. But the MGM that owns many, many properties in town, they had the Mandalay Bay, Aria, Excalibur, not opening with the first wave. Literally by Saturday, so day or two in, the early numbers were good enough that they set the opening dates. And there was talk Aria might not open like for over a year. And it's going to be open here mighty soon. So in general, more people playing, betting at the casinos than expected. Good enough to cause even a faster rollout of the reopens. That's point one. Point two, people are sick and tired of social distancing. It's like they don't care. Some do, but it's funny because it's like people are hugging. People are sitting at the bar together, but the casinos are trying to enforce it. And it's interesting. We'll talk to Fezzik tomorrow. You can wear your masks, right, which they recommend. Now, how do they have facial recognition software. So a guy like Fezzik, who is, they call it backed off, he's not allowed to play blackjack at about half the casinos in Vegas. You've got to wonder, not only could he wear the mask, but also they got the eye in the sky looking for people that are breaking social distancing or not wearing masks. And then they're telling security, and security's going down. So they're busy with the masks when Fezzik's going to have a mask, I think, and be trying to beat the casinos. That is interesting, right?
Is that a real thing? Is he really not allowed to play blackjack in multiple casinos?
Absolutely. Because, I mean, they do not want counters. And it's funny. Even 10 years ago, I was a little skeptical, right? Like, come on. And he said, watch this. I think we were at the Cosmo at the time. He went, played $20, like, you know, low limit or, you know, moderate limit. And Jonas, it was within 4 minutes. You know, Mr. Fezzik, the guy walks up and says, you're welcome to play slots. You're welcome to play, but you can't play blackjack here. So he's actually a really good counter. But the thing about counting, Jonas, is once you get good, you can't do it anymore. It's like, imagine golf. Once you get down below four handicap, they won't let you golf. Well, what's the point? And once you get good at counting, they shut you down. And here's what you got to remember about Vegas, always.
They do not lose money. They don't mind if everybody else does, but they don't lose. It's impossible, but they'll figure a way. I've seen things you wouldn't believe. You'll see.
I told you, Jonas. I told you.
That's amazing.
What's your take on the NBA right now? I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. And, let's do one more thing on Vegas here. UFC handle was through the roof. Roof. I mean, like, bet, 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 bet. There was $1 million bet on Nunez. Minus 600.
Yeah.
So $6 wins you a dollar. There was $1 million on it. I mean, in general, do you feel the UFC is doing a great job? I mean, I know having these events is good, but it feels like the biggest names aren't fighting. And then I've heard speculation that until they can actually have the gate, they're holding back the biggest names. What's your sense?
Yeah, that's what I've understood. Dana White made mention of it when it comes to Conor McGregor a few weeks back, to where he said it'd be pretty tough to have a Conor McGregor fight without the gate. Like, he knows the bodies, how much Conor McGregor brings in financially, revenue-wise, for the sport and for the company, just on tickets alone at the event. What I also think is interesting is they've been having these fights at the Apex, which is in Las Vegas. It's the UFC's center, but the cage is smaller. So the normal cage is 30 feet. The cage is now 25 feet, which increases the likelihood of guys trading blows back and forth, and I think might have something to do with the fact that you've seen more knockouts with no other sport going on.
And all of the I think on the TV card, every favorite won, right?
Yeah, Nunez was the biggest favorite on the card and wiped out her opponent. It was domination the whole way through.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.